This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Here is the thing about all the big wildfires burning out here in the West right now. 83 of them as of today, says the National Interagency Fire Center. The thing is that it's not even supposed to be fire season yet. September and October were fire season back in the day, and then the planet started getting hotter and drier, and here we are. Last year, what was till that point the worst West Coast fire season ever carried insurance costs of anywhere from $7 to $13 billion. That's from a firm called Risk Management Solutions. So the economic incentive to figuring out how those fires spread is pretty high. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Jess Burns has the science.
At David Blunk's farm near Albany, Oregon, the soundtrack is positively pastoral. A rooster is kind of the last thing you'd expect to hear when there's a scientific experiment underway. But in a small clearing next to a freshly planted field of vegetables, the Oregon State University engineer and his team are setting out frames of white cloth. They're spaced on the ground in growing semicircles, like lawn chairs at an outdoor concert. The cloth is there to catch firebrands or flying embers when they land.
For how much of a tree or shrub burns, what's the number of firebrands that'll be released? That's the big value that we're trying to back out.
Despite their importance in spreading fires, relatively little is known about how many firebrands different kinds of vegetation generate during a wildfire.
Obviously, if you want to better understand how to control it or contain it or prevent it, it's helpful to know how it spreads.
To do this, Blunk and his team are burning different trees and shrubs, a lot of them, from Douglas fir to sagebrush. Today, it's a bush called chamise, which can be found in California and southern Oregon. Their work is funded by a $200,000 federal grant. Engineer Sampath Adusamili is leading the burns, propping up chamise branches above a pile of straw at center stage. He grabs a handful of the straw, letting individual bits drop and be carried by the breeze.
We'll just wait a little bit. This is our scientific wind direction testing.
The pieces drift towards the cloth frames on the ground.
That's good. Yeah, I think we're ready.
They light the dry straw on fire, and within seconds, the bushy chamise goes up like a torch. Threads of embers swirl up into the heat-distorted air. In an actual wildfire, Blunk says knowing how many firebrands are produced could eventually be used to help firefighters and communities understand how the fire will behave.
Where will the firebrands go, and what's the likelihood they'll start a new fire?
Almost as quickly as the experimental burn started, the fire dies. Embers have fallen onto the cloth frames, leaving scorch marks behind. These marks will be counted to make comparisons between plant species. In addition, Blunk and his team are burning different size trees to compare how tree age affects how many embers are generated. Their preliminary findings have been unexpected. The data suggests that for each kilogram burned, larger trees produce fewer firebrands than smaller ones.
And we're not sure if those trees happen to have more moisture content or maybe the structure of the tree. Maybe there's just fewer of the fine twigs or needles to break off. And we're scratching our head about that one.
And as climate change brings longer, drier fire seasons to the West, state leaders and forest managers are doing a little head scratching as well. How do we best prepare communities for the ever-increasing risk of wildfire? They may be surprised to find one part of that question is being answered on a little farm in Oregon. In Albany, I'm Jess Burns for Marketplace.